And a good afternoon to you. I'm Al Cresta. Thank you for being here. We are broadcasting on location in Ontario, California this week at the 2016 Theology of the Body Congress. Well, there's some rollout news this morning. Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump, we all know, has been struggling with Catholic voters in some polls, but he has now named an advisory council of respected conservative Catholic leaders. And the list of 33 advisors includes people like Senator Rick Santorum and Thomas Monahan, former Oklahoma Governor Frank Keating, Kansas Governor Sam Brownback. But the fellow who's the chief liaison to the Campaign for Catholic Affairs is Joseph Sella. Joe is the founder of the National Catholic Prayer Breakfast. We've been friends for many years now. And Joe signed a letter in the spring which said that Mr. Trump was manifestly unfit to be president. Joe, you with me?
Al, I am. It's good to be back on.
Yeah, it's great to have you again. So obviously I've got to ask you the question. What happened between March and today for you to change your estimate of Mr. Trump as presidential nominee?
Well, I am happily supporting Mr. Trump. I'm volunteering for him and will be voting for him first off.
Mm-hmm.
There has been a sincere change of heart and mind. And the concerns expressed in the primary have been allayed due to a fuller understanding of how committed Mr. Trump is to the issues and policies of greatest concern to Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly his commitment to a federal judiciary that is certainly more conservative, and certainly for Supreme Court nominees the same. And complementing that is the great selection of Governor Pence as his running mate, and the hiring of an excellent senior staff. And it so happens that the top three leaders happen to be Catholic as well. So
yeah, you signed that letter before his statement on the Supreme Court justices that he would nominate, and before Pence was on the scene, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So a lot has happened since the spring.
Correct.
Okay.
And the differences are stark. I mean, there are going to be 3 to 5 Supreme Court vacancies filled by the next administration. Mr. Trump has promised to appoint justices in the mold of the great Catholic jurist and thinker, the late Antonin Scalia, who we all know, love, and miss. And Hillary Clinton has promised to do just the opposite, Al.
Mm. Yeah.
And that alone will have far-reaching and long-lasting implications for the Catholic Church and the lay faithful on everything, from pro-life issues to religious liberty to health care, onerous educational mandates, and likely in ways we are presently unaware of. I mean, did you or I think, Al, that in 2008 that we would see some of the things come down the pike from executive orders or judicial rulings or legislation that we haven't seen?
Especially in the area of religious liberty, I never expected in my lifetime to see the federal government through regulation and through the, in one case, through the intervention of the Justice Department, take over or try to set up guidelines for religious institutions, whether it's the HHS mandate.
I mean, bullying the little sisters of the poor.
Yeah.
Forcing them, making a case to force them to have contraceptives.
Yeah, it's ludicrous.
And a massive fine holding being held over their heads.
Yeah.
Shameful.
Yeah.
And it would only worsen. I mean, if you consider a quote of what we would expect and why Catholics should be seriously concerned about Hillary Clinton's presidency, she once recently said, deep-seated cultural codes and religious beliefs and structural biases have to be changed.
Yeah,
I mean, what is that? You let your imagination run on those who wish to tear down the teachings of the church,
right?
And that captures well the implications that are before us.
No, I don't think there's anything really controversial in what you just said. I think if she were sitting with us today, she would absolutely agree that she'll be using the powers of the federal government to break down what she would consider hate speech on the part of those of us who oppose same-sex so-called marriage. And I think we should just recognize that we've entered a new era in this sphere of religious liberty. It's not the same America that it was even 10 years ago.
Exactly. And if you consider this, that the Democratic Party is, their platform is even further away than it was under the great pro-life governor from Pennsylvania, Bob Casey, who was shunned by Bill Clinton in the 92 Democratic convention because of his pro-life views, and was denied a chance to speak. And any last remaining sympathy to life was nominal at best, was stripped out in this Democratic platform. So that, again, that shows you the storm clouds that lie ahead.
And let me just echo this.
If a Clinton presidency happens.
Yeah, let me just make sure that everybody understands here that this statement about the Democratic Party and their refusal to let high-level Democrats speak a pro-life message. This isn't speculation. In fact, Ken Woodward, 40 years religion editor at Newsweek, just published his book, Getting Religion, and he has an entire chapter in there chronicling his own experience watching the Democratic Party move from a party which was quite hospitable to pro-life people to a party, especially at the national level, who will not permit, literally will not permit, pro-life messages at their conventions. So this is not speculation. It can be discovered at the record, so I'm not worried about saying it.
Well, yeah, Alan, and really, Kristen Day, who's a friend of mine, she's head of Democrats for Life of America.
Yeah, I haven't talked to her for a while. Yeah, sure.
Yes, I mean, it might be good to hear her take on it, but the Democrats party stripped out the provision of, they're not calling for safe, legal, and rare anymore.
I know.
Referring to former President Bill Clinton's position in the 90s, which, you know, we knew where he was at the end of the day. But they're just calling for legal for any reason. And a dramatic turn. And that is really a paraphrase of something that Kristen recently said. So that accentuates what you had just pointed out.
Let me ask, who else is in this group? I've mentioned a few people here. I know Kansas Governor Sam Brownback, former Oklahoma Governor Frank Keating. You mentioned Senator Rick Santorum earlier today when we spoke. Who else is involved in this group?
Well, we'll be rolling it out at 7 o'clock this evening. So there are some other very distinguished people that we know and respect. One person I can tell you that's on is Tom Monahan. Founder of Auburn University, the law school, and certainly the radio, and Congressman Sean Duffy, and some others. But it's really a very impressive and distinguished list of people that really Mr. Trump convened back in June to listen. And he knew that he needed to know. So he listened. He has listened to these people who have worked in the church, for the church, with the church, and to listen and learn so that he can know what the key concerns, issues, and policies are of Catholics. And that has been engaged in things that he has said on the campaign trail, and certainly there'll be more to come in the next 47 days.
Yeah. It was in June, too, that he established an advisory board among Protestant evangelicals, if I remember correctly. So he seems
Correct.
To be concerned he seems to be concerned about having good relations with theologically conservative Christians, whether they're evangelical Protestants or Catholics. So
that's true. And considering the concerns that what surrounding a Hillary Clinton presidency would mean on the issues and policies of greatest concern to Catholics, they're beginning to coalesce around Mr. Trump, changing their previous support, crossing the aisle even to vote for him. And I'm just one of thousands of across the country, and it appears as though the trend will continue. Mm-hmm. And if you look alone, Al, at the fact that the Supreme Court, for the first time, we have a nominee of either party who has produced a list of prospective Supreme Court nominees' names. Never had it before. Have asked for it before, but have never had it.
No,
so
true.
That is really one of the reasons why people are starting to come on board, and that's helped. And so it is. So goes the court. So go many of the issues that are and policies of greatest concern to Catholics.
I agree with that. The Supreme Court's vital. Thank you, Joseph. We'll talk soon, okay?
Al, thanks. God bless.
Joseph Sella is founder of the National Catholic Prayer Breakfast, and now he is the liaison to the Donald Trump Catholic Advisory Group.